Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears back with you here. Getaway Friday, March the 20th, 2026. Last day of winter, first day of spring tomorrow. Well, hold on, Glenn. I know. Got to get the microphones turned up. Holy mackerel.
Spring came at 10:46 this morning.
You know, they say that, but I don't believe it, Glenn. I just
they lied.
The 21st. Remember when it used to be the 21st before they got all this equipment?
Yeah.
I think they're full of crap. I'm sorry. I just think it's I'm going to stay with tomorrow. At midnight tonight, I'll celebrate spring.
All right.
Did you do it like a dance at 10:46 this morning?
I took an extra nap.
There you go. Spring fever. Phone lines are open, by the way. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. What's coming up at 10 o'clock, Matt?
Well, if you weren't watching last hour, if you weren't listening last,
were they watching?
if you weren't listening wow. last hour, then I'll be talking about basically the same things we did last hour. But the Iran war, that kind of thing, politics. Ohio politics, if I get to it.
Go ahead, caller.
Oh, how are you today, boys?
Hello.
How's it going?
Glenn, corn on the cob, Ellie. How are things as you approach the big milestone birthday?
We just talked about it off the air, and I don't want to talk about it.
Okay, well, that's good.
It's good to hear your voice. I haven't heard from you in a long time.
Good to hear yours, too, Glenn. And a couple things. I was listening to the dulcet tones of your newsman. He always does such a fine job. And this connector project, Glenn is someone who's lived in Marion a long, long time. Matt is a younger but veteran Marionite, and Scott is Marion Township.
Oh, good. I thought you were going to say something dirty.
What do you guys think about this connector? I looked at it online. There's four different routes. They're all very different. Looks like it's not too popular. Glenn, what do you think? I mean, it's a nonpartisan issue, so
You're going to have to catch me up on it. You're going to have to catch me up on it. I don't even know anything about it. I just heard about it.
You hear the news?
Yeah.
You hear the news, right?
Yeah, but I don't read it.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good. Well, I looked it up online at a Toledo TV station. There's four possible routes that will connect 71 to 23.
Yeah.
Of course, we already have some of those connectors.
Yeah.
The Polaris isn't too good because you're going from one high-traffic area to another. The bottom one, I think, is the most interesting, is that it's going from, Sunbury to just north of Waldo. Problem is it's going to eminent domain a lot of land, and it's not going to make some people happy. I'm not a fan of doing that, but sometimes you don't have much of a choice.
I wonder why they chose that route. Probably because there's a lot of cows that live there.
Yeah.
And corn.
Might be good for the hamburger business.
Yeah.
might make some vegans unhappy, but that's the way we roll here. You're an omnivore also, Glenn.
I am an omnivore.
Yeah, so we don't have any of those vegan arguments.
That's not a dirty word, I don't think.
You like all different foods, as I do.
I do.
I probably like them a little too much. Yeah, you look at the routes. WTOL has a map, and the top one, which is going from Chesterville to just southeast of Marion, that one seems kind of wasteful because you're going in an arc. I'm not sure it's really going to save a lot of time. The idea is it could save as much as 45 minutes in the trip from Columbus to Toledo because you don't take the freeway until you get to 40 miles south of Toledo. It's all 23 in that area, especially between Columbus and Delaware. It's getting awfully busy. It seems like it's expensive, and there's too much eminent domain, too many studies, too many engineers making money on it.
And
the idea of having these routes. I would tend to side with the anti people at this point, but I still want to hear more about it. I didn't know what any of you three guys would have.
Well, if you take 23 north up to 75, there aren't that many cars there. I mean, it doesn't seem like they're saving any traffic.
Are they over-dramatizing the inconvenience?
And yeah.
Probably a bit. It just depends when you go, of course.
Yeah.
And obviously, the trip between Worthington and Delaware, it's not rural. There's no rural parts at all. I mean, you think it's rural, and then half a mile later, there's a shopping center.
Yeah.
So unless it's 3 in the morning, it's going to be busy.
Hmm. I don't know. It sounds to me like it could be a waste of money. That's me, though.
Yeah, I guess my thought is I'm normally in favor of this stuff, but I'm looking at the costs and all these feasibility studies and all the eminent domain as that area is just growing. I'm not too sure I'm in favor of it. Scott, can you get someone maybe who's involved in this study to come on the show with you and talk about it so we can learn more about it?
Maybe I'll look into it.
You're familiar with this, right?
I am, but to be honest with you, I think it's a wedge issue because the state's going to do what they want to do.
Yeah.
They have the right to do it, and I think politicians are just using it as a wedge issue to say I'm against it because it's unpopular. Why wouldn't it be unpopular? Nobody likes eminent domain. Nobody likes change. I hate to tell the people, it's coming. It's going to happen. The state has the right to do it, and unfortunately, that's the story on that. You can say you don't like it. You can make little videos saying you don't like it. It's not going to go up for a vote, and it will happen.
All right. Do you think, I mean, you heard Sheriff Bales. He came down pretty hard on it. Do you think he's being a little too strong?
I want to know what a sheriff has to do with construction of a highway.
Maybe the traffic right. That's...
Besides, again, yeah. A political wedge issue.
Being a first responder, again, it's... And he is a politician since it's an elected office.
It's a wedge issue. Like I said, this is unpopular. Let me say I don't like it. When you know there's no way you can stop it.
Yeah. It seems like they're constantly trying to add these interchanges. Glenn, you remember when they were expanding 670,
yeah.
Where it became a straight route from the airport to downtown yep. Columbus, and then the Polaris interchange, and then a few years later, they had another one for Gemini, so they tear up what they did and put another one in. It's like, I understand things might have grown, but what do you expect?
Well, and quite often it seems like they're making roads to make more roads rather than for real reasons.
In the construction, it's like we have enough orange barrels as it is. And we all like the idea it's going to save time, but and again, some of the routes. The bottom one where it almost goes straight north, that one seems like it could be usable. But the cost and all the land that's going to have to be taken by eminent domain, the lawyers are going to get rich. The lawyers and the engineers get rich, and that's not really the idea.
Well, that's the way it's been in America for years.
Supposed to help Ohioans like us, and it seems like, the engineers and the lawyers, they're all getting rich on it. And, of course, the construction companies.
Of course.
This I might turn the tables a bit, that I'm not too sure I'm in favor of this. I was excited when Polaris opened. I was excited when 670 went right to the airport. This one, it's out there.
No, they must think something's going to be helped by that.
Yeah, but Scott, try to find someone involved in this feasibility study, somebody from ODOT. I mean, all your connections. I'd like to hear someone talk about this.
Okay.
That's about all I had. What do you think, Matt? I mean, you're a young Marion citizen and worker and all that other good stuff. I'm sure you've heard of it. You at least heard the newscast. Do you have any opinions?
I honestly have not a clue what we're talking about. As far as I did not know there was supposed to be road expansions or any new roads or anything of that sort.
Okay. Well, Scott, I'm going to send you this article from WTOL, okay?
Okay.
You share it with your bandmates there. This I thought I looked just to find the exact routes because what I've seen online really hasn't been super helpful. This is a good article. And obviously I think the people in Toledo are more likely to be in favor of it as they're traveling to Columbus. That might be...
Is there a vote?
The more beneficial end. Sorry?
Is there a vote coming up or something?
Well, there's all these feasibility studies and all the engineers and the lawyers and architects. So I sent you the link. Pull it up for your co-host there.
I would think that if it was...
I'm not sure about this saving 45 minutes. Even in bad traffic, I'm not sure if it's that much. Yeah, look at the article. It's not super long. It's got nice pictures on it.
All right. Thanks, Adam.
Topic I'd kind of like to hear. So, yeah, if any of the... Terry, any of the listeners, they always have opinions. I'm sure Terry has an opinion, and Naomi. I mean, she has an opinion on everything, right? So if you're listening...
I don't know. This is one of those topics, I think, Adam, that politicians are more involved. It's kind of a... Like I said, it's a wedge issue. That's who I see commenting on it.
Okay, well, anybody wants to be a wedgie, that's good enough.
There you go.
Okay, boys, well, I'll talk to you later.
Thanks, Adam. All right. And again, phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. There just are issues like that that are not really anything the public... I guess you could pick it and do that sort of thing.
I would think that if they want to do it, they're going to eminent domain it, and then they're going to do it. So, I mean,
Somebody's got some money
on it. They do it all the time.
Somebody's got some money in on it.
Well, yeah, but, I mean, it's certainly an interesting issue. It's just, it's one of those things that you... I mean, it's kind of hard. People can talk about it, but, again, it's more... I think people are using it as a wedge issue. Like I said, what does the sheriff... what's the purpose of coming out for or against this as the sheriff? Except you're an elected politician and it puts you in favor with the politicians or the citizens.
Unless somebody asks you, I really see 0 point. I mean, if somebody asks you, I guess, and I mean, at that point, I mean, you can give your opinion, I suppose. But, I mean, as the police chief, I don't know what it matters.
I don't know either, but the phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. I don't know. It's certainly... There are issues, though, that are of interest to people, like flock cameras.
Yeah.
Yeah, what do you think of that? I was at that city...
Oh, I don't like that at all.
Wow, you said that like you know a whole lot about the issue. Tell us about flock cameras, Glenn.
Well, my wife told me about it, and I said, wait a minute. How can they do that? I mean, is...
Flock your car?
Yeah, isn't that...
Well, no, that's not illegal, no.
No, I guess it isn't illegal. I'm going to flock them back.
No. I don't understand it. You know, the whole thing is, why is it a problem?
That's the question.
Yeah.
Have they got a reason why there's a problem that they have to solve with this?
Well, they say they've used it to solve many a case.
Really?
Yeah. Runaways.
Of course, they can say anything. Well, they and can't. We have to believe them.
Yeah. But, I mean, how does it hurt?
It's no big thing. I don't think 99% of the American public would care.
Exactly. Now, here's the 1%. Go ahead, Matt.
Well, I mean, like I said before when you asked, I mean, it just feels like some kind of violation of privacy. But
it
I
does,
mean,
yeah.
But, I mean, you know, at the same, I mean, but I guess, you know, the courts have ruled many a time against my opinion. So, I mean, what am I going to do about it? You know, the courts have the say in that.
Yeah, put that joint down while you're on the air.
Why do... Oh, there's a lot of new rules today about marijuana.
Is there?
I heard about this. I didn't look up the rules, but people better pay attention. Things are happening right under their nose.
Last time I did marijuana, I was Matt's age.
Really? Gave it up, huh?
Oh, yeah.
I don't understand why the flock cameras are an issue. But again, okay, if they're an issue for you, that's fine. I think people should... They have very strong opinions about
that. Where did they get the name?
I think it's a company, Flock.
Oh, okay.
And again, if anybody has an opinion on that, feel free to call in. 740-383-9944. Okay, so there's that. And then this is interesting, I think. Young MAGA supporters are worried that it has entered its cringe era. Yeah, I know.
That's weird. What the heck does that mean? I'm going to have to go home and get my violin for
Matt,
sure.
Translate this, what this means.
All right, so young MAGA people are worried that it's become...
cringe.
Yeah, cringe. So, like unpopular or weird, I guess. I'm sure there's a better description for it, but, like, unpopular or weird.
I cringe when you talk about it, but...
But young people now. Young people thought it was going to be popular.
You're saying I'm not young?
Well...
Maybe not.
Young 80. Yeah, people said it was going to be popular, and now it's becoming cringe.
Huh.
Is that how you say that word? Do you use it as a noun?
Yeah, I mean, you could say, cringe really isn't a word that's used all that much, I don't think, anymore, but...
I cringe every time I hear it.
Yeah, well, there you go.
But yeah, I mean, I'm sure there's a better word for it. I mean, just like, but I'd assume it's more like weird or unpopular.
Yeah.
So is it?
I mean...
I don't know.
Not to my knowledge.
Here's an interesting subject.
Republicans are doing fine.
From the Oscars, Toyana Taylor was criticized for a happy reaction to Madigan winning the Oscar. because she was in the category with her. She did not win, and she got very happy. She was criticized for that. And she said that she has learned to do something that most people don't know how to do, and that's lose with grace instead of win with grace. Very interesting. So do you lose well, Glenn?
Yeah.
Do you handle criticism well?
No.
Okay. Well, how do we fix this?
It's a good question. I'm just trying to remember. There were two politicians, just the politician, very famous politicians. One just lost to her election.
In Texas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's her
name? I'm trying to think of her name myself.
Shoot. African-American lady.
Yeah. Yeah. What's her name?
I don't know this one.
Well, so popular it need not be.
Anyway, she lost with great...
humility.
Yeah, that's it.
Well, but you
know she didn't want to, and when you heard her talk about it, you could tell there was some angst in her heart, but she went ahead. She lost to that to the young man.
Talking about Dan Crenshaw?
No. His last name begins with a T.
Yeah. Jeez.
It's a Democratic congressional race in
Dallas,
Texas. Yeah.
Anyway.
You know, the first time I went to New York, I went to see David Letterman, and there were people outside the Ed Sullivan Theater from Texas, and I was talking to him, and the guy, I said, where are you from? Or they said, I think they asked me where I was from. I said, Ohio. And they go, I said, where are you from? Texas. And they go, you know, there's only two types of people in this world. Those people who are from Texas and those people who want to be from Texas. I said, oh, okay.
That's the last state in the world I'd want to be.
Well, I said, thank you. And then I went over and I said, don't seat me near those people. They're crazy.
And it's hot down there.
They're crazy. But I, you know what I think causes people not to be able to lose with grace is jealousy.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you're jealous of the person, you won't ever admit jealousy. People don't admit jealousy.
No.
But if you're jealous, you tend to knock people a little more.
Because it makes you look petty.
Yeah, it does make you look petty, but if
like
you attack somebody,
president right now.
Well, but if you attack somebody, you know that maybe you don't get as petty. Got it in there. What do you think, Matt?
Okay.
I don't know.
Well, I mean,
all right. Way to bring that one home.
That was fun.
Well, just slip it in, even in a we're talking about the Oscars, but it doesn't matter. Okay, go ahead.
Well, I mean, I think, yeah, losing with grace is always good, I suppose, yeah.
No, that's what your mama always told you to do, lose with grace.
Right, but why can't people lose with grace? Why are people so jealous and nasty?
Well, I don't know that it's always jealousy. I mean, some people are just competitive. I mean, I don't like to lose. I mean, I don't think anybody likes to lose.
That's a great subject, too, competitive.
That's why I brought it up.
Yeah. Very competitive of you.
Thank you. Don't be jealous.
But I'm getting mad.
But you're getting mad. That's what we're, have grace. Have grace. Remember to have grace. I don't know. I think it's very interesting, though, because I made a comment. I never fire back at people who fire on me. When people criticize me, I let it go because I think I can. I'm not going to come down to their level. I can control what level I'm on. I can't control what they do, but I'm not going to come down to their level. And I think that's a lower thing to do. I think it's not a classy thing to do.
I'm amazed that you even notice that. I don't know whether I come down to people's level. I try not to.
It's responding.
Petty, but
it's responding because the people are trying to bait you with that stuff.
Yeah, I don't like people baiting me, but usually if somebody's trying to bait me, I go the other way and I just plug
That's
my
right.
ears.
don't bring it up.
Yeah.
You know, just let it go. Don't respond to it.
If you're not as smart as I am, you're not going to know how stupid you are.
Right. But now, Matt, you don't think that that's the case because we've had this conversation before.
You see, but I was just disagreeing to disagree, okay? It's one of those things, see, because a lot of the times when you disagree to disagree, you quickly back yourself in the corner. You're like, you know, this is a hard position to even try to defend. I like to play devil's advocate, but sometimes things just don't make a whole lot of sense.
So you don't believe that?
No. I mean, I do believe that was the first thing I told you when we went off air, as a matter of fact.
Oh. See, I forget what happens. During the breaks, I don't remember. I remember the shows. I don't remember what happens during the break. But no, I think what you jealousy is a very dislikable trait in somebody.
Well, it's dislikable in yourself, isn't it? I mean, I don't like to be jealous because that just makes you angry for no reason.
Right, but it brings out a side in people that is very angry. Like, I've always thought, what is my motive in criticizing something? You know, motive's important.
Yeah, yeah. Motive is always important. Yeah.
If it's because I don't like the person, that's wrong. But if I'm doing it out of truth or something I was told, then it's okay.
I've been struggling with this, with my opinion about our current president. I do not want to feel the way I do. I don't like to have a hatred. I don't like to be petty and jealous about things like that. But, boy, it's hard to not do that when you're really vested in it.
Well, I was having a conversation last night with a group of people. I said, I can't hold a grudge. I mean, in a moment, I might not like something, but I won't remember it.
Yeah, I mean, too.
Yeah, I mean, it goes away rather quickly.
Well, and I hold a grudge against Matt because he won't talk.
He won't talk. He's just not jumping in here.
Well, I'm, you guys are quick. I mean, you know, I'm just like, well, you know.
My microphone keeps going in and out.
No,
I don't think it's your microphone.
It's your headset.
I
mean,
your
mic's fine.
Oh, okay.
The headset's just a little, yeah.
Okay.
All right, so.
What's the question? There was a bit of a gap there from the question.
There's a lot of gaps in this show. We're talking about jealousy and grudges. Do you hold one?
I don't know. I mean, I don't probably not. I mean, I don't know that I will forget it. I mean, you said you forget things. I don't know that I ever forget it. But I mean, after like you know a couple days has passed, I'm like it's kind of useless at this point.
How about when somebody embarrasses you in public? Now, I do hold a grudge against people that do that purposely.
Like what? Like
or
how?
Calls you something that you're not in front of a crowd. You know, I can't think of anything right off the top of my head.
You know,
I do hold grudges on that.
I think people do that out of anger. When somebody says something negative or like, I just go, oh, poor person. You know, you must really be broke up that you're that angry.
I do most of the time, but there are times when people call you something that really is hurtful. And usually if it's hurtful, it's probably close to the truth.
Well, most of the time, if somebody does something like that, I'll be upset about it, obviously. But, like, it's more so, like, I just want to know why. Like, what was the purpose? Like most of the time when things like that happen, I don't see a goal. Like, I don't see a reason as to why it even happened.
Oh, Glenn's headset. Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Oh, here's the subject. President Trump recently was talking about Gavin Newsom in the Oval Office, and he said Gavin Newsom should not be president because he has a learning disability, and that people with learning disabilities should not be president because they're dumb.
I feel like there's an irony here.
Oh, you got in there that time. You got in first. You were waiting for that one, weren't you?
And there's some ironing that we need to do later.
What do you think? What's the irony?
Well, you know, I don't think Donald Trump's exactly, you know, I mean, I don't know for certain that he's got any learning disabilities, but, you know, I think if you listen to the way the man talks, I mean, he doesn't even get a full sentence out most of the time before he like, cuts himself off and then goes on to something else. Like, he's a different kind of a fellow, you know?
Well, I have a little dyslexia like Gavin Newsom, and I don't see that slows me down. It just, sometimes I can't read very fast, but that doesn't slow my mental process.
This made a lot of people angry.
That's, understandable.
The president would say this.
Oh, it should, because they've got kids that have that disability, and that would hurt you personally if your kid was like that. And my brother and I were both dyslexic, and it didn't bother us in a bit. My brother became a millionaire, and I... I've never had any problems.
Well, speaking of the term dumb, recently J.D. Vance was asked why all of a sudden he supports the war on Iran when he didn't before. And he said, in front of the president, he said that it's because this president is smart and the other presidents have been dumb.
I'm sorry.
That's what
he said.
Yeah.
That's what the man said. This president's smart and the other presidents have been dumb. That's why he's changed his mind.
Did they play his a clip of him calling him a bad word?
You know, I don't know.
I mean, that is such a...
What do you make of our homeboy here from Ohio, J.D.?
I think J.D. was he wasn't as... J.D. Vance was also a rather sensible, kind of, I mean, to my knowledge, at least, up until, I mean, he even, I do believe he even was even one of the people who was calling Trump a fascist and calling him dangerous and all of a sudden he's the vice president. I'm like, oh, okay. You know, that was an interesting choice right there, but,
the hypocrisy of politics right now is just way beyond.
I mean, like, you know, it seems a lot of people are willing to trade their entire belief system for a job, so, I've lost a lot of faith in politics as far as that goes.
Now, also in that same, it was a busy press conference, Trump said that he spoke with a former United States president, and they said the war in Iran was something they wish they had done. He said that about them, and immediately all former living presidents denied that they had spoken to
Donald Trump. You do realize that Trump lies more than most people in the world.
But I figured this out, Glenn. I have figured this out.
Okay.
Oh, I have.
You know who it is?
I do know who
it
is.
Okay,
I certainly do. Who do you think it is? Because I'll tell you, I'm going to give you the answer here. I'm going to lay it on you.
I think it was Schuyler Colfax.
President of the United States. Former president of the United States. Who do you think it was?
Former president.
Yes, he said he talked to a former president of the United States.
Well, he couldn't have talked to all the people that I would imagine. But
who do you think he talked to?
Truman.
I don't know.
I have no idea.
A Ouija board for that.
I can't imagine any of the presidents, and
they all denied it.
I've had presidents since Truman. I was under Truman when I was 5 years old, but I don't think I can imagine any one of my presidents, even Democratic or Republican, that would have said that.
What do you think, Matt? I'm going to lay it on you. I got an answer here.
I mean...
But you don't know for sure.
I'm pretty sure I do. Pretty sure I do.
I would think that I don't think it was any of them. I think he's lying, personally. But, I mean, if he did, the best bet's going to be Bush.
Maybe.
But I think Bush is, you know, he's not even, like, part of that party anymore. He's kind of ostracized.
Are you ready?
Yep.
Does anybody know at home? 740-383-9944.
It might be his past self. Maybe he was talking to his past self, and he was like, you know, I could have bombed him. I should have just bombed him then.
Him. He's a former president.
Yeah, that's true.
He's non-consecutive. That is the answer. 740-383-9944. I believe that's what he meant. I think that's what he was talking about.
Wouldn't surprise me.
Yes.
He was just thinking, he was like, I should have done this years ago.
It's a lot easier to do that than to lie.
Well, he was talking to himself there in the Oval Office, and he said, well, you know, what do you think? And he heard a voice say, I think that was a good idea.
He must have been in the bathroom at the time.
Well, he's an interesting fellow that way, but I think that's what he meant. And here we are calling the man a liar. I mean, come on.
There's no doubt about that.
I thought, you know, that's just one of those half-truths, you know? He's not technically lying, you know?
No. But I think that's what he meant, and God bless him. You know, I don't think... Would anybody take his call? I bet they would all take his call, but would they talk to him? I don't know.
No, they'd have to take his call.
I think they'd take his call and be like, Donald, you're dumb.
Here's something. What would Biden say?
About?
If Trump called.
How can I help you, sir?
I think he'd be cordial.
I think he'd be very cordial, yes.
Obama. How would Obama answer the phone?
He would, too.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't. Yeah,
Clinton?
I don't think they'd be. Clinton might be a little more.
A little more brusque.
Yeah.
You think?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, I don't think so.
Well, I mean, I understand Clinton, you know, statesman.
Clinton's
like all that,
very
like,
charming.
Like, you know, they drug him through the mud recently.
I don't think they would be. He'd be evil or mean. I think he'd be a little more sustained. He would let it go in a hurry.
W. Bush.
He'd say who?
You don't think W. Bush knows who the president is right now?
I'm sure he knows who he is right now.
Oh, you didn't much care for W. Bush.
No, he was not my favorite president, but I didn't mind him.
He was okay.
Yeah.
I
you know, the only thing I know about W. Bush is that a lot of people call him a warmonger.
I don't like anybody that's a warmonger.
Well,
and he was because he started two wars.
How do you, now this is an interesting topic with the 15 minutes. What do you make of documentaries? Because now here's, I got these documentaries that people make after somebody's dead, and all of a sudden, all these nasty revelations come out about the person, and they're dead. They can't defend themselves. They did this with Barbara Walters recently, and recently there's a new one coming out where I'm reading all these posts about how horrible the guy was, and I interviewed this man many times. He was a beloved fellow, Bob Barker, the host of The Price is Right, and all of a sudden, all these women
the
are talking about how...
beat up Happy Gilmore?
Yes! Yeah, oh, God! These, they're calling the man, he was evil, and he was having affairs with the Barker's beauties, and he was just a horrible guy. Now, why wait till he's dead?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Because he can't sue you or...
A lot of people run other people down to build themselves up, and that's what I think a lot
but
of...
But why wait till they're dead? I mean, that Barbara Walters documentary was a little disturbing. I mean,
I didn't see it.
Oh, you don't want to see it. Because I don't believe for a second they would have ever done that while she was alive.
Oh, heck no. She controlled too much of the industry.
She would have crushed them.
Yeah.
But boy, these people were, I think they were jealous. They were just making these ridiculous accusations. Was Barbara Walters probably a little insecure? She probably was. Did Barbara Walters, was she competitive? She probably was.
Probably very.
But the things that were said that were never said in her lifetime, you know, if you weren't going to say them while she was alive, you can't say them when she's dead.
Unless it's good stuff.
Yeah, but I mean, in the documentary, they're talking about her jealousy of Diane Sawyer and her competitiveness and how she didn't have a good relationship with her daughter.
What's wrong with
I know she would not like that said about her in her death.
Being competitive? There's nothing wrong with being
not getting along with your daughter?
Oh, well, I don't know about not getting along with your daughter. I don't know that, you know, that's good.
Yeah, that's just rude.
And then you got Oprah, who all throughout Barbara Walters' life always would say, you know, the reason I got into broadcasting is because I was pretending to be Barbara Walters and so on and so forth. And then in this documentary, she talks about how Barbara Walters stole the Monica Lewinsky interview right out from under her. And I think, well, you never told that story when she was alive.
Well, she hasn't, you know, but isn't she the same one who stole the interview from, I don't know, whoever the other guy was?
Oh, Sam Donaldson. That was when, but that was a good story because Sam used it as a good thing. Sam Donaldson, my good friend, when Barbara Walters died, because he worked for... Do you ever hear this story?
No.
It's a good story.
I like this story.
I love this story. So at the end of... Right the week before the 92 election, Sam Donaldson was hosting Primetime Live, big news magazine, and Barbara Walters was doing 2020. And Sam, on his last show before the election, the show was Thursday night, the election was Tuesday night, he had booked all the candidates for Primetime Live. He had booked Ross Perot, George Bush, and Bill Clinton to be on. And he thought he had a coup. And Glenn shakes the cords. So he gets a call right before the interview, the day before the interview, saying Ross Perot has canceled his interview with Sam Donaldson, and he's going to be on 2020 with Barbara Walters. And Sam said, well, why is he doing that? And said Barbara Walters called up and forcefully reminded him that he had promised the next interview to her. So Sam said he was angry as could be, and he walked right over to Barbara Walters' office and said, Barbara, we work at the same place. We're both at ABC. Why did you steal this interview from me? And she goes, because I get them all. And he said, and she did. And that was it.
Ooh, wow.
You didn't mess around with Barbara Walters.
See, you know, there's nothing wrong with a little comp. You know, she was a competitive lady. There's nothing wrong with that.
She'd bend your finger. Well, that's what Oprah said in that thing. She said she had booked Monica Lewinsky. It was all done. And then Barbara swooped on in there and said, listen, more people watch my show than Oprah. It's on network. We'll give you more time. And
a little thing you don't know about me is that I was with Oprah in Chicago. On her station in Chicago, the first week she went on the air.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, tell us a story.
Well, it isn't much of a story. She was kind of scared, like you would be.
She was up against Donahue.
This, I don't know who she was against.
That's a rough matchup there.
It was kind of fun. I had one of my basketball players that she wanted to interview, and she interviewed him and did a nice job, and she was very cordial, and I always liked her.
That she is a wonderfully humiliative person. I knew that I liked Oprah.
Humiliative?
Yeah, I'm going to tell you what humiliative means.
Okay. I just wondered. Go ahead.
Give me a break, Glenn. It's almost 10 o'clock.
Okay.
But the Phil Donahue was on for 30 years. And they were very competitive with each other when they were on at the same time. Yeah, they were both the top two. Yeah. And Donahue retires after 30 years, and the Daytime Emmys, they're going to give him the Lifetime Achievement Award. And they ask her to present him with the Lifetime Achievement Award. And, you know, they run the video package and da-da-da-da-da, blah, 30 years of greatness. And when Donahue came up on stage, she wouldn't let him come right to the microphone. She stood at the microphone, and she said, "Phil, on behalf of all of us, I want to say that you started this format, and I've told you this in private, but I believe had there not been a Phil Donahue, there could not have been an Oprah. I personally thank you for everything you've done." And she was top dog at that point.
Wow.
And he was on his way out. She didn't have to say that to him.
No.
That's humiliative.
That is.
There you go.
Humiliative, yes.
What do you think,
that
Matt?
It certainly is.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's good. I mean, you gotta pay homage as it goes.
Right, you just can't run somebody over. No, you gotta be better. You wanna do better, but you don't have to be crap you don't have to be nasty, and that's the side that I don't like.
Well, the neat thing about being on her with her the first week, it might have been the first month, but is that we could tell that she was going to be good right from then, just the way she was able to talk easily and openly.
You know what I was surprised about with Donahue when I went to his penthouse is that he was that guy. I mean, he, you know, you almost thought it had to be a show because the way he talked, he had his speech pattern, and that was him.
Yeah, I think after I talked to you about that interview, I was surprised that you were so surprised at how kind and humble he was.
Well, good Lord, man invites you to his penthouse, and Marlo Thomas is at the door, answering the door. I mean, this is not normal Marion, Ohio stuff.
Did she have a nightgown on, or how was she dressed?
No, she was dressed. It was the middle of the day. She asked if we had our shots. That's how it went. And Phil didn't care. Phil was like, "Come on in." And she's like, "Why don't you do this interview in the living room? It's bigger. There's more space." He goes, "I already got it set up in my office. Come on. And he was a very nice man.
Cool.
Gave us water. I still have the bottle of water. I got it Phil Donahue's.
No, no alcohol, huh?
No, but I bet I could have got it. He said, "Do you want to use my toilet before you go back? Because there's not many bathrooms in New York." God bless Phil Donahue. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, Scott, who's your guest tonight?
Glenn.
Okay, that's who I thought.
You have a question for Glenn.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Are you still an atheist, or are you now a Christian?
Oh, no, I am not a Christian. I like to say to a lot of my friends who ask me whether I'm an atheist or an agnostic, I say I'm an atheist, but I follow my Christian upbringing, which my dad was a Methodist minister. And so, therefore, I guess I am kind of a Christian without having God in it, above it, sitting on a throne.
Cultural Christian.
Yeah.
As they call it.
Good one. I like that. Cultural Christian.
It's very humiliative.
Well, I heard you on Linda's show saying that you was a Christian now.
Is this what goes on Linda's show?
I said I tried to follow Christian tech. I never said I was a Christian then on our show.
Oh.
Either you misunderstood or I misspoke. I don't know.
But look at you, Glenn. You found the Lord on Linda's show. I didn't know.
Yeah. But I do try to follow my Christian teachings that my dad gave to me and my mom gave to me.
Well, I do, too. I, you know, grew up Catholic and stuff, you know.
Yeah.
But, you know, I just can't believe, you know what I'm saying?
That's me. I can't believe either.
Just proves the Bible's not right.
There are way too many things in the Bible that are wrong, so yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I hear you. But I don't want to run anybody down that loves the Bible, because I have a lot of my family and friends that absolutely love the Bible and follow it.
Yeah, you know, they believe that. That's good for them, but,
yeah,
you know, science just doesn't support it.
Yeah. That's the way I feel.
Get out here.
Thanks for calling. Bye-bye. Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. Well, it's always an interesting subject, religion.
I agree. Religion is fascinating.
There are two people that really get upset when I say that I'm an atheist. One is Mary Ellen Withrow. She absolutely.
Oh no, she doesn't like it. I've seen her snap at you when you said that.
And Linda, neither one of them like.
Well, what does Linda say to you?
She's a little less snappy.
But Mary Ellen comes at you. I've heard those tapings,
and that's fine. And I do not say it anymore around her at all. I respect people for what they are, and that's the way she is, and I'm going to continue to respect her that way.
I think she just doesn't like to hear it.
Yeah, that's, and I'm not going to
Were you surprised that she snapped at you about that?
I was, yeah.
And that was an interesting moment.
She did it twice.
Yeah, well, you remember. But I remember the first time she did it, it kind of came...
Yeah. Oof. Don't say that.
Yeah, yeah. Why do you say that? I remember that. I mean, it was kind of in that tone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She was not happy with me. And to this day, I'm sorry I offended her that way. Because I love Mary Ellen.
But I don't know if she was offended. I just don't think she likes hearing that.
Well, maybe she... I put it in the back of my head as maybe she doesn't want me to go to hell, and isn't that nice?
well, you know, I don't think anybody that I know of is going to hell.
Well, that's good then.
I'm not sure. I mean, I don't really make those decisions. But I think, well, maybe some. I don't really know. But
I don't believe in heaven or hell.
Well, I don't, you know, I've never been there. But
even my dad said he didn't had a difficult time believing in heaven.
He was a minister.
And he was a minister.
God Almighty.
But he, like me, followed his Christian teachings.
You know, that's one of the few times I took something out of an interview. A very well-known Marian person did an interview with me and admitted very late in life that they were an atheist. Mm-hmm. And it was a taped interview, and it bothered them after they had said it. Mm-hmm. And they sent me an email before the interview aired and said, could you please take that part out because I'm a member of this church and I don't want people to know that. And I did take it out because it wasn't relevant to the interview. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, but, you know, that's one of those things.
Yeah, I don't like saying it because I don't want to offend people, and I know where I am in my mind. I am a Christian without believing that there is a God sitting up on a cloud doing decisions.
I don't know. I'm surprised at the people who question it, who will not question it in person. I know of a lot of church-going folk who very much question it. But yet, no.
I just saw a statistic that says 38% of the American public does not believe, is not Christian.
I bet that's an all-time high.
Is not Christian.
I bet that's an all-time high. But I don't think people should make fun of it.
No, you shouldn't.
I think that's wrong.
And, you know, it's a good thing to have a religion, I think. I think my friends who are Christian, I wish I could be, but I'm not. That's all.
Well, I don't like to be definitive about anything. I don't.
You're right. You don't.
I don't want to be definitive about it. So, you know,
don't get me in a corner, right?
No. Well, I mean, I don't know. I don't know. I have not died. Yeah. So I can't say if it is or it isn't. So, you know, it's very, I think it's very pompous, I think, to say in a way that I'm for sure that it doesn't exist. Mm-hmm. Because how do I really know?
Yeah,
I don't.
And that's why I've been trying to moderate my statement, not to be an atheist, but an agnostic.
Right.
Well, I don't know. I've always kind of, I've had a lot of people ask me if I am an atheist, but I don't know. It's always, atheist would be like, you know, God 100% does not exist. Yeah. Which I mean, I don't know for a fact that God does not exist. But then agnostic is more like you don't take a stance because nothing can or will be known. So, generally, I like to just be referred to as non-believer. Because, I mean, I haven't read the whole Bible, but I'm getting there. I've read Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Genesis.
You had a man give you a Bible.
Yes.
Oh, yes, and he was preaching at you all the time.
I mean, I've got nothing against, I mean, I'm not opposed to it. I just don't believe. So well,
I've read it cover to cover twice, and I still don't know what the heck it says.
Well, I mean,
really don't.
I think I understand what it says, I guess, like literally, but I just don't believe it.
Well, there are so many things in the Bible that are so not true and can be proven not to be true that it's kind of hard to.
I just like the idea of Saint Peter.
Oh, I the job of judging people forever. Oh.
That you go before somebody when you die, and somebody gives you a thumbs up, thumbs down.
I don't think that's truly in the Bible that way.
No, but I like it.
Oh, I think Saint Peter.
It's a wonderful, like, to characterize that in life is a great thing.
Well, that's how people and how religions have controlled the population for hundreds of years.
Listen, we've got an American Pope. Whoever thought that would happen?
I love him. I think he's great.
He's not a Cubs fan.
No, he's a White Sox fan. But that's
we have a Pope from Illinois.
That is pretty hard to
imagine. Isn't that an unbelievable?
Why?
Because nobody ever thought there'd be an American Pope.
I think he...
I mean, I guess I've never paid attention to the Pope before, really.
I think he became a Pope because he's just a good human being and they...
But some people really get angry with the Pope. I like the idea of a Pope.
I don't mind that.
Yeah. No, I mean, I was called to, you know.
Yeah, they asked
you
him
were told?
Called. No, I was called.
They asked him if he wanted the job.
Wanted the job.
Yeah.
And I said, I'm busy right now. Cry me in a few years. Maybe.
Oh, by the way, you can't have sex.
Really?
That's what it says.
The Pope is celibate?
I think
well, even... it doesn't surprise me. He's the Pope.
Wow. Well, he can make the laws, though, can he?
I would hope so. If I were the Pope, there would be a change right now. And I might get a divorce.
Well, you know, celibacy is an interesting thing. I think more people should be celibate because I think people overshare.
I agree. Oversharing.
I don't want to know about what people are doing. And they do. They tell you.
Yeah, I don't want to know.
I say,
either.
Back up. Recently, I had that with somebody. Like somebody a lot younger than me who told me about their personal life. And I was like, geez, Louise, I don't want to know about that.
Anytime you start thinking about that, those parts, I think they all smell bad.
I don't. Well, that'll make you celibate. God, if nothing else will, that'll do it. That's how you become Pope. You just put that in your mind.
No. Never want to touch it.
Good Lord. No, I'm talking about... Oh, God. Oversharing. See, right there, Glenn, you did it. You overshared. I just warned you about this oversharing thing. Matt, what do you think? Do people overshare?
Yes, I think people overshare.
Have people overshared with you?
Oh, yes. I've had people overshare with me. Yes, definitely.
Oh, that's the worst thing to overshare about, though.
I mean, I think a lot
the
of
the smell or the action?
The action. The action. I never heard anybody tell you talk about the smell. God.
People don't smell good.
Listen, when you get before St. Peter, this is going to be brought up. I hope you know that it's coming your way. This is not going to make the grade, I hope to tell you. What do you think?
He'll laugh as he opens the door.
Oh, Lord. Is there a door? Hello, I'm St. Peter. How are you?
They did away with the gate because it was just too hard to keep opening.
I think that pearly gates.
They were not there. It's a just a,
it's
an old wooden door I saw.
No, it's the pearly gates. They're shiny.
Okay.
Yeah. There you go.
You know it as well as I do.
Who knows? I don't know what's going on, but I'm telling you, people do overshare. Have you ever had people overshare, Glenn?
You know me. I like
overshare. You overshare. You're alone on you. I'm just telling you, people, when they overshare, I get a little, I get cringe.
you just cringe. I cringe.
No, I think that's not how you use that term.
Well, that's how it's used, you see.
It's like riz and cringe.
Okay.
Yeah. No, cringe.
Yeah, I cringe. Not, I get cringe.
It's an action?
Yeah.
Well, how can?
It is. Well, cringe.
Yeah, but how can mega become cringe?
Well,
then?
I mean, even like the actual word cringe is an action. Like you,
I understand
like you physically
that. But
cringe.
I think the way it's being used in culture now, the colloquialism,
they're all stupid.
It's being used like this, like it's cringe.
Yeah,
how could mega become
cringe?
Yeah, I think it's cringe when people overshare.
Yeah, I don't get cringe. It's cringe.
That's what I said, wasn't it?
No,
yeah,
said,
that's
I
what
get
you
cringe.
Said, and I'm totally confused.
You said, I get cringe.
Is it?
Is what?
It's oversharing cringe.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I guess. I don't know. I mean, I don't like oversharing. I mean...
What is Joe?
I like oversharing because I like to get to know what people are like.
Yeah, but I don't like to share at all. But I like to hear other people's stuff.
Generally,
I like to hear other people's stuff.
Most of the time, if you ask me, I'll tell you. But I mean, I'm not going to go out of my way. I mean, what's the point?
Before we run out of time here, what's the worst thing somebody ever told you that made you cringe?
One of my friends told me that him and his significant other had some extracurricular activities for the first time, and I was like, I don't think I need to know that. You know, that's a you guys thing. You guys got to worry about that. Right. Not me.
I know it's going to be bad, but Glenn, what's the worst thing somebody's overshared with you?
If you have grandchildren, you know, they tell you, Grandpa, come look what I did in the jar.
Oh, yeah, you know what? Now that smells. That has a smell
and
to
it's
it.
It's ugly, too.
Yeah, yeah. You know, worst thing somebody's ever overshared with me. You know what? Somebody told me one time, a coworker told me what birth control they were on. And I remember thinking, ooh.
Why would they care?
I said, we have no secrets now. Once you tell me what birth control you're on, we have no secrets.
The only time I'd ever brag about that is if I could tie it in a knot to stop it. So. And I can't, so. Never mind.
I don't.
That's over.
Oh, you overshared. Right? Yeah. Well, I may have a new winner. All right. Well, Glenn, it was great to have you come
great
in tonight.
To be here.
Yes, it was fun. Matt, what's coming up next?
Next
hour. Try to follow this.
Yes. Next hour, we're going to talk about the Iran war and the politics in general.
All right. Well, for Glenn, Matt, Scott Spears, for this night, heading for the dugout for all of us here at WGH News. Ted, I remember so well when you announced you were going to run for president on my show.
I do too. But after a while, I decided to get out of the race.
Why was that?
Well, I didn't want to move to a bad neighborhood.
The Talking Place.